FDIC.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, glad you're with us. We got a long program. We got a lot of information to depart to you that the mainstream corrupt media that has been wrong the entire, 2 years, Russia, 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 Russia. And breaking as we come on the air here today, Sarah Sanders pointing out that it is now time for the president to take away the security clearances of people like Comey and Hayden and Clapper and Brennan and Susan Rice. And everything we learned late Saturday night justifies just that. And they have now politicized and weaponized the powerful tools of intelligence. And every single thing that we have been reporting to you has been proven true as it relates to, I know it's heavily redacted, these 412 pages of these FISA applications, all four of them. And what do we got? Yates, we got, let's see, McCabe, we've got Comey's name on it, and yeah, Rod Rosenstein's name on the last one. And what did we find out? We found out that everything the Democrats told you about the Steele dossier and how these FISA warrants were not the basis or the bulk of information in those FISA warrants for Carter Page. Now, Carter Page is going to join us today. I mean, they literally lied repeatedly to get a FISA warrant on this guy, which gave them a backdoor right into the Trump campaign. First, they put the fix in for Hillary Clinton. She should have been charged with felonies. The same people involved, and immediately thereafter, they are looking to undermine then candidate, then president-elect Donald Trump, and ever since then, Donald Trump. We have the Democrats that claimed that the Steele dossier was not heavily relied upon in these FISA applications. They lied. The bulk of information came from the phony Clinton DNC bought and paid for, put together by a foreign national dossier with Russian lies. That is the foundation of every one of these warrants. It was all predicated on a lie. I mean, just to begin, the warrant application basically was the unverified, uncorroborated dossier that Clinton and Clinton controlling the DNC's money paid for. Of course, they funneled that money through the law firm Perkins Coie that then hired Fusion GPS, that then hired a foreign national, Christopher Steele, a guy that was fired for lying to the FBI. Oh, that's not in the documents either. It's amazing what they withheld from the FISA court judges in order to get the back door to spy on the Trump campaign. And if Carter Page was that evil, why is Carter Page able to walk into my studio in about an hour and talk to us here on the air? Now, he did go to Russia, but he also, in the last interview with us, told us, almost every time after he'd been to Russia, he would sit down with the CIA and he'd sit down with the FBI and he'd get debriefed. In other words, he was cooperating with our government. That's a part of the application that was never told. But the FISA application, the original application in October of 2016, it proves what we've been saying, that the FBI, James Comey's FBI, and the Department of Justice relied almost entirely on this phony, unverified, uncorroborated, foreign national, put together Russian lies to steal an election. And the dossier was being bantered about by people like Brennan way beforehand. And what we find, the main allegation against Page is that he traveled to Moscow. Now, I've never been to Moscow. I have no intention of ever going to Moscow. I don't care that much about Russia. I don't care that much about being a world traveler. I don't care that much about a lot of things. But the idea that a businessman goes to Russia and tries to or gives a lecture in Russia does not make them a spy in any way. And the main allegation against Page, well, he traveled to Moscow. He gave a speech. And he came in contact with Russian government officials. He's trying to get the video. He says it was about 10 seconds. I do have questions. Was he obsessed with Russia? Why did he keep going back there? He lived there at a period of time for 3 years. But this is the bulk of it here. Our FISA court was misled. In other words, the FBI relied on news accounts and a phony political document and purposefully lied to the judges. You know, it's hard to ascertain with all the redactions. You know, there's no evidence of, in the unredacted application, the FBI ever advised the court that Page helped the government in the 2015 prosecution of Russians who intended to recruit Page years before he joined the Trump campaign. It omits critical information. Carter Page is never charged with anything. It appears the court was led to believe that Page had been recruited by Russians. It actually goes on to say in this particular, you know, in these applications, they refer to him as an agent of a foreign power. Well, why hasn't he been arrested if he's an agent of a foreign power? By the way, that's 2 years ago they're talking about him being an agent of a foreign power. This isn't anything recent. He's not been charged with any crime. I thought in the United States you were innocent until proven guilty. And if the evidence was so overwhelming, you'd think that would have happened by now. Or the fact that, no, remember, it was Andrew McCabe that said, without the dossier, there would not have been a warrant made available. He told House Intelligence Committee members that. And it also means that James Comey, I mean, now you have literally the media is going nuts. You know, why, you know, they're going to take back the security clearances of Brennan, Comey, and all. Of course you should take them back, because all of them are up to their eyeballs in taking away the constitutional rights of American citizens and trying to steal a presidential election. When Comey told on his book tour, our friend Brett Baer, that the dossier was not a critical part of the application, he said it directly. That was a lie. My recollection was it was part of the broader mosaic of facts that were laid before the FISA judge to obtain the FISA warrant. There was no significant amount of additional material about Carter Page.
You called the dossier unverified, salacious. Why did you use that to the FISA court to ask for surveillance for Carter Page? Not only use it, but you led with it. A bulk of that FISA application deals with that dossier. Why?
Yeah, that's not my recollection, Brett. And I don't know that the FISA application has been released.
He's
my recollection
just lying.
Was it was part of a broader mosaic of facts that were laid before the FISA judge to obtain a FISA warrant.
There was a lot more than the dossier in the FISA application?
My recollection was there was a significant amount of additional material about Page and why there was probable cause to believe he was an agent of a foreign power. And the dossier
that's not
was
what we're
part
seeing.
Of that,
part of it?
Not...
No, it was all of it. It was the FISA application. And now we've got the proof. You know, nowhere do you see the dossier described as what it was, an unverified, bought and paid for political document. They never tell the FISA judges the truth. You know, Democrats have been out there claiming that it was commissioned by Glenn Simpson to damage Trump. The judges were never told Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party paid for this lie, this document full of lies. And then these so-called intelligence people like Brennan passing on to Harry Reid and others. You know, the only thing you get is, you know, obscure cryptic references. But the key facts that they knew, the key facts were concealed. The court was purposefully misled. They committed a fraud upon the court. And in the process, they basically shredded the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable search and seizure. You know, we actually have a tape of Rod Rosenstein. You know, if you put your signature, on this thing, you own it. You're verifying it. You're corroborating it. But yet they didn't do any of it because the bulk of information that was the dossier turned out to be full of lies. And even Christopher Steele himself, when under the threat of perjury in Great Britain, was questioned about the dossier that he put together, said, oh, no, that was just raw intelligence, maybe 50-50. Well, that shouldn't represent the right of the United States government to get a warrant to spy on an opposition party campaign, which is what happened in this particular case. Here's what how Rosenstein, remember, he signed the fourth warrant.
The way we operate in the Department of Justice, if we're going to accuse somebody of wrongdoing, we have to have admissible evidence and credible witnesses. We need to prepare to prove our case in court. And we have to affix our signature to the charging document. That's something that not everybody appreciates. There's a lot of talk about FISA applications. And many people that I see talking about it seem not to recognize what a FISA application is. A FISA application is actually a warrant, just like a search warrant. In order to get a FISA search warrant, you need an affidavit signed by a career federal law enforcement officer who swears that the information in the affidavit is true and correct to the best of his knowledge and belief. And that's the way we operate. And if it's wrong, sometimes it is, if you find out there's anything incorrect in there, that person is going to face consequences.
Well, Rod Rosenstein, by his own standard, now needs to face consequences. Because what Rod Rosenstein signed was an application full of unverified, uncorroborated, political Russian lies. And it was designed to impact a presidential election. In other words, the FBI literally relied on phony news accounts, lied to the judges, and since when in a FISA court application do you rely on speculative and uncorroborated and unverified material? You know, the circular reporting that they relied on Isikoff, Yahoo News reporting, when it was the same source, Christopher Steele, and they knew it. They never told the judges that it was Hillary Clinton's dossier bought and paid for. You know, the Steele was not even, they rely on, you know, one of the footnotes describing Steele as reliable and credible. And in the subsequent warrant renewals, the FBI continued to describe the information provided as credible, even though he was fired for lying to the FBI. You know, well, he had credibility with us in the past. The FBI does not believe that Source 1 Steele directly provided this information to the identified news organization. Well, he did. And that's circular reporting. You know, the FBI page was never been indicted. Isn't that interesting 2 years later? If he did so many nefarious things, why wasn't he indicted? Why didn't the FBI even interview Page to go through the allegations in the dossier? How is it you can hand to any court if Rosenstein is right and they're saying, well, my signature's there, you're swearing that it's true? Well, it turned out to be false. What are the consequences for all of these people involved in this? You know, why was the date of the first warrant? And by the way, let me tell you one other. The Democrats, now we know, they just lied. They lied about everything, claiming the Steele dossier was not heavily relied upon. They're just Adam Schiff. I told you he's the biggest liar in the country.
For decades, credit cards have been telling us buy it now and pay for it later with interest. Despite your best intentions, that interest can get out of control fast. With Lending Club, you can consolidate your debt or pay off credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. Since 2007, Lending Club has helped millions of people regain control of their finances with affordable, fixed-rate personal loans. No trips to a bank, no high-interest credit cards. Just go to LendingClub.com, tell them about yourself and how much you want to borrow. Pick the terms that are right for you, and if you're approved, your loan is automatically deposited into your bank account in as little as a few days. Lending Club is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion in loans issued. Go to LendingClub.com/offer. Check your rate in minutes and borrow up to $40,000. That's LendingClub.com/offer. LendingClub.com/offer. All loans made by WebBank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
You know, if you go back, you see all the big liars, the Democrats lying, the Steele dossier. They knew the truth. They just went out there and lied repeatedly. The media knew, too, and they also lied. You know, we also see that the dossier was politically funded. They lied to the FISA court judges about that. The American people. You have top intel people like Brennan spreading this garbage as if it's gospel truth when they know otherwise. Or the Isikoff news article sourced to Christopher Steele himself. Well, that's used in the application for the FISA warrants. FBI denying Steele was a source for that article. Well, Rod Rosenstein said, if you put your name to it, you know, you're swearing it's true. Well, they swear that a lot of things were true that turn out to be lies. You know, crucial allegation against Carter Page, which justified the FISA warrant, establishing him as an agent of a foreign power, is that he met with two Kremlin-connected Russians. Only information in the warrant attesting to those meetings comes from the Steele dossier and the Yahoo News article sourced to Steele himself. That's called circular sourcing, to make it seem like they're separate sources so that you can say to the judge, see, there's separate sourcing here. You know, the footnote about funding the dossier didn't disclose that it was funded by the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. That was a lie by omission, because that would have been a red flag to any FISA court judge, but they wanted this warrant. There's no indications of FISA warrant that the FBI verified any of it. As a matter of fact, all they did was corroborate it and say they verified it, when in fact it all turned out to be lies. So they've all got big problems here. You know, Steele improperly leaking information, he ends up getting fired and they still vouch for his credibility. That's even after the FBI terminated him. They continue to cite to the FISA court his past work to vouch for his credibility. Well, he's not that credible if the FBI fired him. You know, remember in the House Intel Committee memo, Rosenstein signed the fourth application. Well, okay, how about we declassify all of the applications? And then it raises questions about whether or not Rod Rosenstein didn't live up to his standards, that when he signed this FISA warrant against Carter Page, the fourth one, at he's swearing that it was true, none of which turned out to be true. So that means by his own standards, Rod Rosenstein should be removed. And then that goes to Comey. And I'm going to tell you another aspect of this. This is all abuse of power is a crime. Obstruction is a crime. Trying to influence a political election this way, yeah, that would be a crime too. There's a lot of different crimes in this whole thing. Anyway, later we'll check in with Greg Jarrett and Sarah Carter on that part. Carter Page at the top of the next hour. After all, it was all about him. How does he feel about it? Well, he's not in jail. He can't feel that bad.
Okay, and so Buzova met with Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe.
Yes.
Pageant.
Absolutely. And she got compromising materials on Trump after their short relations.
Okay. And what's the nature of the compromise?
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course. Buzova shared those materials with Sobchak, and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin, because she's a goddaughter of Putin, and Putin decided to press on Trump.
And the materials that you can provide to the committee or to the FBI, would they corroborate this allegation?
Sure, of course. When they were in Ukraine, we got their conversation by the phone where they discussed those compromising materials. We are ready to provide it to FBI.
So you have recordings of both Sovchek and Buzova where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely.
That's Adam Schiff on the House Intel Committee, literally being bamboozled by a fake Russian. Well, you can provide materials to a committee. Yes, I have compromising materials on Donald Trump. You can't make this stuff up, but, you know, we've got to play that again. That was so good. Looking forward to this week, by the way. We Economists are now expecting, we're going to get second quarter GDP numbers this week. We expect it's going to be announced Friday, and it's expected it'll top 4% and maybe much higher. I mean, that would be an economic miracle if that happens. Anyway, it should be interesting to watch. Look, the media's hatred of all things Trump, they're now obsessed with the fact that the president is now saying and suggesting through Sarah Sanders today, and this was based on Rand Paul's suggestion. He was on this program, if you remember last week, talking about John Brennan and having John Brennan's security clearance revoked. Absolutely, it should be revoked. Look at what these people have been engaged in. And then it should also include people like Clapper and Comey and Susan Rice and Andrew McCabe and Michael Hayden. And maybe Strzok and Page can be added to the list. Why should these people have security clearances? You know, it's at this particular point in time, they don't deserve it, as now they're using it as political weapons to slam the president, even when it's false. You know, the idea that John Brennan, as CIA director, is out there asking for certain people like me to be surveilled and unmasking people like me, according to reports out today. If that's true, I will sue anybody involved. I will sue them all personally. Absolutely personally. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. You know, why is this all important? Greg Jarrett's going to be here later today, and Greg Jarrett's book is out. Well, it's really out in bookstores tomorrow, but it's released today. You can get it on Amazon.com. It's called The Russian Hoax. I've read the book. The illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton and frame Donald Trump. It's all true. We now have in this country a deep state operatives that try to rig and basically steal a presidential election. You want to talk about abuse of power? Well, what more do you need? What more evidence do you need than these FISA court applications that we now have heavily redacted materials to? They confirm everything we've been reporting now for a long time, that the warrants, the applications, FISA court applications, it basically was the bought and paid for dossier full of Russian lies. But the history of this is they first had to clear Hillary Clinton, who committed felonies with her email server that was being investigated by the FBI, and the lies she told about not having top secret and classified and all this other information on her private server in a mom and pop shop bathroom closet so she could avoid congressional oversight. That was the only reason to do it. And then when it's subpoenaed, she deletes 33,000 emails, just deletes them. Subpoenaed materials. We never have gotten a hold of them, just like we never gotten a hold of the DNC server. Where is the DNC server? The DNC servers that were hacked because the FBI wanted to look at them. And they said, no, we'll get an outside company. Why didn't they let the FBI look at them? Where are those servers now? Whose possession do they happen to be in? There's so many examples in the lead up to this election where things were done by the highest levels of our government, our FBI, our Justice Department, to help one candidate avoid prosecution. She absolutely committed felonies, mishandling classified, top secret, special access programming information, destroying such information. That's another felony. You're not allowed to delete emails that are subpoenaed. You're not allowed to use bleach bit and acid wash your computer so they could never recover them forensically, which they otherwise would be able to do. You're not allowed to then beat up your devices to make sure that there's no copies left and pull out the SIM cards and hand over broken, busted up devices and say, here you go. It would be the same as imagining, you know, what the example I use one day is if I ever told somebody whose devices were subpoenaed by Robert Mueller that if they did the things Hillary did, I said it would be a bad idea. It wouldn't work out well for you. By calling it the Clinton standard, you'd end up going to jail over such. We never got those 33,000 deleted emails. We never got the DNC server. Interesting that it was WikiLeaks that put this information out, As far as I know, nobody ever called Julian Assange the source of the release of the information and say, can you prove where it came from? Why wouldn't that phone call be made if you're seeking truth? Now, maybe Julian Assange would say, OK, you got to make a deal with me. Well, they seem willing to make a deal with everybody else if it comes to the prosecution of Paul Manafort, you know, over a tax case in 2005. Or, you know, the immunity now they're giving five people in that particular case, they will have to be identified. You know, it seemed to not matter that General Flynn had both Strzok and Comey believing he never lied, but he signed a document lying that he lied to the FBI. I don't believe he ever lied to the FBI. But after he was going bankrupt and he had to sell his house, he couldn't afford to defend himself. And I'm pretty certain they were probably saying, well, we're just going to have to go after your kid and we'll put your son in jail because he worked with you when you traveled abroad. So that kind of puts the screws to you. And your choice is well, I don't have the money. What am I going to do? Let my son put him in legal jeopardy? No, no father's going to do that. I already have to sell my house. Everything I've worked for my entire adult life is gone. You know, then what is this about? And we find out that, what, five or six foreign intelligence services had hacked into Hillary's mom and pop shop bathroom closet and got those emails. Well, I would assume it's Russia, the bad actors that they are, the hostile regime that it is, and Putin, the bad actor that we know he is. But then it was probably also China, as Christopher Wray said last week, the biggest threat to the country. And it was probably North Korea, probably the Iranians. I like the president is telling the Iranians, you better not mess with us because we will take out your sites. It's all going to happen. And I see them as stupid enough to challenge Trump. Trump's not going to draw a red line in the sand, let them cross it and not do anything. It's not going to happen. The mischaracterizations by the media have been unbelievable. Does anybody in the media now even care at all? At all that the FISA court warrant applications were the dossier that Clinton paid for. So first they exonerate her. First they even change the language from gross negligence to extreme carelessness because gross negligence is the legal standard. Then they go ahead and pull out what they had originally put in the original draft, which was that all these foreign entities and foreign spy agencies has gotten a hold of her emails. Then they have to thread the needle there. And then they turn their sights the same people on Donald Trump. People that hate Donald Trump and find him loathsome. People that are sworn to stopping him. People that have insurance policies. And people now the left is upset that the security clearances of these same people are going to be pulled. They said a lot of these people should be in jail. But it turns out the Democrats lied to you. The FISA warrant applications were the phony dossier, the debunked dossier, the Clinton bought and paid for dossier. The FISA court judges were purposefully misled and lied to on numerous occasions. There wouldn't have been a warrant against Carter Page were it not for that phony Clinton bought and paid for dossier. You know, the FISA court didn't know the dossier was Clinton bought and paid for. They didn't tell the FISA judges. They withheld certain information on purpose because it was all about, at this point, getting Trump. And getting to Trump and finding dirt on Trump and using the back door of a campaign associate, a guy that happened to be doing business with Russia since the Cold War. Carter Page was going to join us at the top of the next hour. You know, and then, of course, Steele is all credible. They say he's credible. They didn't tell the judge they fired Christopher Steele. You know, as Rod Rosenstein just said, and we played for you, we put our signature to something that means we're standing by it. We verified it. It didn't verify a thing. They would have verified it. They would have debunked it. There's no evidence to suggest anything in that dossier was true. You know, Page has never been indicted. This goes back 2 years now. The FBI never even interviewed Page except for once or a couple of times. What they're not telling you, which Page has told me in previous interviews, is that every time he came back from Russia, or most times, not every time, that our own intelligence services would ask him, can we sit with you? Can you tell us everything that you learned? It looks to me like the reason he probably hasn't been indicted is because he's probably working with the agencies. Because if he's going to dinner and lunch with CIA operatives and FBI officials after he goes to Russia and he's cooperating with his own government, that means he's kind of working with them. I would assume they'd appreciate that. The whole thing was the dossier was never verified. Do you understand that this means our Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search and seizure, that you can lie to a judge and get away with it? It means our Constitution means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just like the serious amount of surveillance, unmasking, not following the rules of minimization, leaking raw intelligence. You know, all of these reports out there that Sarah Carter, Sean Hannity, and other people, why, the government now is turning the powers of the intel community on us because we dare to tell the truth or have a political point of view that's different from them? That's a little scary. You know, the FBI speculating that the identified U.S. person was likely looking for information that could be used to discredit Donald Trump. We believe that person to be Glenn Simpson. Limited references, you know, visible about the Papadopoulos meeting that everyone in the media made so much of. London court records show that, and Republicans emphasizing the Steele briefed, in fact, Michael Isikoff. They made it look like it was a separate piece of information to validate the dossier, but it was the same information. You know, the early renewals show Page's denial of the Yahoo report was also included in the application, suggesting further suspicious activity. The last renewal, late spring of 17, we knew everything. That's the one that Rod Rosenstein signed on to. You know, the visible sections don't indicate that the dossier was ever verified, but they certainly stood up for it and stood behind it, but they didn't do any work. You know, the only thing they said, well, Steele's reliable based on his previous work, but they don't mention they fired him. And they never told the judges who paid for it. This is the most corrupt moment in American history. This is an effort to literally save and preserve the candidate of choice and destroy the candidate that they did not like, that the American people ended up choosing. And they used the powerful tools of intelligence to do it. That is what the deep state is all about. And yeah, they better take away these guys' security clearances or we'll never get our country back. It's a tipping point, because if they can abuse power to this extent, they can surveil the American people this way. They can lie to courts and judges to get warrants against people this way. Then you don't have a constitution. It doesn't exist. That'd be the Levin post-constitutional America, because this is not constitutional. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. We have Greg Jarrett releasing his book today and Sarah Carter coming up. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, so though heavily redacted, 412 pages indicates everything that we have been reporting and telling you, that in fact the Steele dossier that even he said in an interrogatory was, oh, raw intelligence, maybe 50-50. Yeah, that was the basis for all four FISA warrants. And the level of lying and corruption here is as bad and even worse than what we initially thought that it was about. The warrant application was the unverified, uncorroborated dossier. That was it. The FISA court was lied to and misled. You don't have, you know, as we said before, and this was McCabe who actually said this, no warrant without the dossier. Andrew McCabe had said that a while back. And it also means that in statements that have been made publicly, and even on his book tour, James Comey lied when he told Brett Baer that the dossier was not a critical part of the application. That's a lie we now know. The FISA court did not know that Hillary bought and paid for this document. That is a glaring omission. Because had they known, there's no way any judge would ever have approved a bought and paid for, unverified, uncorroborated political op research piece. And you know what? All of this lying to judges. Now, we're going to go over with Greg Jarrett the potential crimes that are in play here. That's coming up. But the center of all of this is a guy by the name of Carter Page, who joins us now. Have you read the full 412 redacted blackout pages?
I've gone through a fair chunk of it, Sean. It's just from about page one, it was just a complete laugh. So
okay, but what they're saying here is that you were collaborating and conspiring with the Russian government. That's a serious charge. And that, well, let's put aside how they got the warrants to surveil you and spy on you. And there's even a report out, by the way, that I have been surveilled and unmasked at the request of Brennan. That's going to be interesting, because if they did do that to me, I will sue all of them. Every single one of them will be sued, and I will hire the greatest attorneys in this country to take that case, because if we don't have a constitution, if we don't have a Fourth Amendment protection, we don't have a country. So to get the application to spy on you and surveil you, they lied to the courts. That's first and foremost.
Well, it's funny. Not only did they lie, they have two main themes which are totally contradictory. They call me a quote-unquote foreign agent, but then at the same time, they say I'm a target of recruitment, right? So which one is it? I mean, there's so many inconsistencies, and it's just completely beyond comprehension.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a part of it. But let me go. They are making in this application that you had collaborated and conspired with the Russian government, and they referred to you as an agent of a foreign power. Well, first of all, why are you in my studio if all of that's true? I mean, wouldn't you have been arrested? Wouldn't that be treason against your country?
It would be, and it's just so false that, you know, where do you even begin to go through that?
Yeah. Well, go through it. I mean, you know, I know they relied on a political document to get the warrant to spy on you. I got it, and I got how corrupt it is, and I got that they lied about it to do so. But you're not in jail.
No.
Have you ever been charged?
No, absolutely not. And all the questions, or a good chunk of the questions I was asked were by the FBI was along the lines of these false accusations, which I, you know.
Okay, but you had told me in a past interview that, in fact, our own government, our own intelligence community, because you would, how many times have you been over to Russia, for example?
I lived there for about 3 years, 2004 to 2007. My first time over there was at the end of this Soviet era in the summer of 91. So I've spent a lot of time over there.
Did they ever try to recruit you?
Never in my life did one person ever ask me to do anything illegal or even unethical.
Okay, so they never asked you to spy on your own country. Well,
absolutely,
I've got to ask
not.
The question.
Yeah.
All right, so you were over there. You told me that in this period of 2016 that you were going over to give, I guess, what was the equivalent of a commencement speech.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and that's the period of time. And now, the other thing that you told me is whenever you would come back to the States that our intelligence services would take you out to lunch.
Well, not whenever, but you know, many times that happened over.
So you cooperated with the CIA.
I always have them and the FBI.
And so. And would you, can you say how many times they took you out to lunch or dinner to download you?
Frankly, I lost track after a while.
Did they ever ask you to do things for the United States that you were willing to do?
Sean, I don't, you know. It was just sharing information.
So you had no problem sitting down with them and telling them everything that you knew about your travels to what is, we got to admit, a hostile regime. You agree that Russia is a hostile regime to the United States.
I think there's a lot of misunderstandings regarding those points. And I think that's what's been great about what President Trump has been doing.
You don't think that Putin's a hostile actor, former KGB guy?
Look, the former KGB aspect is like me being a former military officer. He served his country, and he's doing new things now. So.
Do you think they tried to impact our elections in 08, 2012, and 2016?
Sean, I can only talk from what I know personally.
Based on
my information, mm-hmm. You know, my personal experience, I never saw anything that would support that thesis.
Would you dispute our intelligence community? Because I believe they obviously did, but it's not the first time, and I think they'll even try it again, that they tried to influence the elections in 2016. You don't have any doubt about that. I don't have any doubt about that.
Well, all I know,
create chaos, as the House Intelligence Committee said.
On each count, Sean, there was definitely more attempts to create chaos by the U.S. government in terms of these false information campaigns and leaking these crazy stories to the media to damage the Trump campaign prior to November 2016. And definitely it created a lot of problems. So
I don't know why there's a reluctance in you. I think it's every single member of the Intel Committee. This came up when President Trump had his press conference with Vladimir Putin. But he had previously said and reiterated after, and I played the montage of how many times he had said, yeah, that not only Russia, but other countries are always trying to impact our elections and create chaos in this country. And my biggest complaint is we have not developed the system to prevent cyber attacks. You know, at some point, we have got to build the best cybersecurity available. And we've not done so. And that, I think, is at some point becomes our problem. But every single intelligence person I know believes that Russia and Putin did and have tried to impact this country and create chaos in the country and our electoral process.
Sean, I'm just, again, I can only speak for what I know personally. And again, there were two main accusations in the January 6, 2017 DNI report from Mr. Clapper and his colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
One is that there was hacking, and the other is that there was state media, RT Sputnik, that was putting out this false propaganda. In each of those two counts, I have a tremendous amount of evidence and knowledge that each of those things were done against the Trump campaign. Number one, the hacking, which we learned, you know, as you mentioned, 400 pages about the fact that I was hacked and all of my communications with members of the Trump campaign,
it
people I know,
it's
part
all
of the Trump
illegal,
movement.
Though. What they did to you is illegal.
I find no reason to disagree with that. Absolutely.
Are you going to take any measures to, I mean, any legal measures against these people?
You know, again, I go back to those two themes of the Mr. Clapper's DNI report 2 weeks mm-hmm. before the inauguration last year. First is the hacking. Second is the fake news propaganda by government agencies. The legal action that I'm working on right now is a suit against the U.S. taxpayer-funded Broadcasting Board of Governors. They fund over $100 million a year to Radio Free Europe. That propaganda agency put out those same false stories that were in the FISA application, send it out to American voters in September 2016, 45 days before the election.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on that. So far, DOJ has not been honest in their court filings, similar to what we're seeing and what you're alluding to in the FISA court document. There is also a district court in the Southern District of New York here in Manhattan where there's similar issues, and they've done false pleading. So I'm working on step by step. That's the first element. We'll see about the second.
What was your relationship like with the Kremlin and people in the Kremlin when you were in Russia? Who were the people that you associated with that were part of the government?
You know, I had no serious relationships with anyone. I think.
Did you have relationships with people in the Kremlin, government officials?
You know, the only I participated in a international forum around the G20. The G20 was in St. Petersburg in 2013. And there were people from, you know, all the G20 members who were participating in that. They had a experts group bringing people from U.S., Canada, you know, U.K., Australia, around the world. We had a bunch of meetings in Geneva, Paris, one in New York. And, you know, we had our expert committee, and I talked with various people then. That was probably the most.
What about
direct.
The Kremlin? Have you been to the Kremlin?
I did a little tour. I've never met anyone. I've never had a substantive meeting in the Kremlin.
It was sort of like a tourist tour that anybody
exactly,
can get in?
Exactly.
Do you know anybody in the Kremlin?
Not right now, no.
That did you at the time?
You know, there were some consultants that would come in, or secondees, right? If there's a big international gathering, they may get people from the, you know, peripherally from various parts of the government. But again, they're bringing people together from around the world in Geneva, Paris, et cetera.
But, I mean, look, it's not usual for an American citizen to go live in Russia. You agree with that? That's pretty unusual.
There are a lot of Americans living in Moscow. Yeah.
Look, and a lot of, but it's not the usual course of business for people. But look, we have trade with Russia. We have business dealings with Russia.
Yeah.
You know, Trump was over there when I guess they had one of his pageants over there. So if I can't get you to acknowledge that Russia is hostile to the United States, that's sort of a difficult point, which I'm not sure why you don't see that, because then the next logical question is, if there's an American that lives there for any protracted period of time, which you did, you know, but you met with our government after. I think it would be a logical question. Who did you meet? What did they want to know? What were they asking?
And I've always answered all of those questions when I was asked that. And again, you know, again, there are people from around the world and a lot of top, you know, I won't name names, but a lot of top U.S. business leaders that were also involved in this G20 summit. Really big event in St. Petersburg.
Yeah. But you never thought at any point, like, did you take notes of all your trips?
I keep a fair amount of notes. Yeah.
And like, would you keep it on a daily basis if you met people?
Sometimes better than others. You know, I don't have a huge staff.
Is there anything that stands out that might have been unusual that you would want, that you wanted to tell our government during your debriefings?
That's my point, Sean. Nothing, not only over the last 5-10 years, but nothing since the first time I went there in 1991. Has anyone asked me to do anything illegal, unethical?
And how many? And every time, for the most part, you were debriefed by our government. And you freely.
I wouldn't
a
say
a lot of time. How many times were you debriefed?
It's hard to say. You know, I can't. But it would happen from time to time. You know, and again, I
and they might have. And you're kind of alluding they might have asked you to do some work for them.
You know, nothing.
Because
material.
The FBI
yeah.
would I, know look, that. Sean, I think it's an important point.
Sean, I used to work in the. I was a U.S. military officer. Served 5 years as an officer in the U.S. Navy. And, you know, I think like most government, you know, people in the national security sector, you know, you do various things. So beyond that, nothing.
All right, we'll take a break. To get this warrant, they lied. They lied to the FISA court judges. What they said was not true. It should have never happened to you. But I did want to give you an opportunity to explain your time in Russia and what that means. Listen, we'll take a quick break. More with Carter Page. Then we've got the release of Greg Jarrett's book today. And Sarah Carter is also going to be joining us. Right as we continue, Carter Page is our guest. Of course, it was he who was the victim of the 4 FISA warrants that were all based, we now know, on lies and a phony dossier that was put together. But with that said, we're also asking him about his time in Russia and whether he was approached to do anything for them. Your answer is unequivocally no, and that you love your country and you are willing to talk to the services here. You help out the CIA, the FBI, and other services. You won't answer if they ever recruited you, though.
Sean, you know, suffice to say I would help out whenever I'm asked. So.
You want, and wouldn't there be a record of you helping them out?
Absolutely.
Do you
yes.
think that's one of the reasons why you're not arrested?
I've put in FOIA requests for that as well. You know, finally, I just got the big FedEx from the FBI today with the 400 pages,
right,
et cetera. But I'm waiting for that, you know, some of those materials as
do
well.
Do you feel like you've become a scapegoat in all of this? Do you think they were going after you to get to the Trump campaign?
Oh, there's no question about that. But
and you were basically a ruse. Oh, here's a guy that spent time in Russia, even though we downloaded him many times after his trips and he spoke freely to us and gave us information freely. Now we're going to use bought and paid for Russian lies by Hillary and get a warrant to spy on you. That doesn't make you want to sue them?
Well, again, I've done the first. I'm doing the propaganda litigation right now. Let's see. I just want $1 from the U.S. government. If they come
clean. No, I think you ought to get $1 billion.
Well, look, we're already, you know, many trillion dollars in debt. You know, this is not about me trying to enrich myself. This is just having some justice and
you
transparency
feel your name
in America.
Has been smeared in these FISA warrants.
Well, there's no question about that.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More with Carter Page on the other side. Also, Greg Jarrett launching his brand new book today, Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. It's finally out and available, and he'll be on Hannity tonight as well. Quick break, right back. We'll continue.
But Mr. Clapper then went on to say that to his knowledge, there was no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. We did not conclude any evidence in our report. And when I say our report, that is the NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the director of national intelligence, that had anything, any reflection of collusion between the members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that in our report. Was Mr. Clapper wrong when he said that?
I think he's right about characterizing the report, which you all have read. We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
Have you seen anything, either intelligence briefings, through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that you've made?
They have the documentation that they did the hacking.
The hacking.
On the DNC.
Right.
And on some of us, you know, that have.
But the collusion, though.
No, we have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign?
Not at this time.
Have you seen anything that suggests any collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign?
Well, there's an awful lot of smoke there, let's put it that way. People that might have said they were involved, to what extent they were involved, to what extent the president might have known about these people or whatever. There's nothing there from that standpoint that we have seen directly linking our president to any of that.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour. No evidence of collusion as it relates to Russia. Comey, Clapper, Maxine Waters, Dianne Feinstein, Joe Manchin, John Brennan, Adam Schiff, Jay Johnson, all these people said no evidence of collusion. So now we know the truth. Everything we've been reporting is true. There would not have been a FISA warrant against Carter Page but for the bought and paid for dossier using a foreign national to put it together that was fired from the FBI, which they also kept from the FISA courts as the bulk of information to get the warrant against Carter Page. FISA court judges were lied to repeatedly. There wouldn't have been a warrant without this phony dossier. The FISA court was not told the extent of how this was a political document or how, in fact, we now know that in interrogatories in Great Britain that Christopher Steele said, I don't know if it's true. It's raw intelligence, maybe 50-50. We continue with Carter Page. Before I get into all the issues with the FISA, I want to go into one more thing here. Did you ever, when your time was in Russia, did you ever, ever talk to anybody about specifics involving the election as it relates to Hillary Clinton, about her campaign, about missing emails, anything that might have been helpful to the Trump campaign, ever?
I never received one piece of information. Sean,
did you ever seek any?
I never asked anything. Again, I've no one ever asked me to do anything unethical or illegal, and I never.
When was the last time you were there leading up to the time they tried to obtain this FISA, got this FISA warrant on you?
Leading up, well, the first warrant
you
was
did
in
a
October.
Speech in April, right? The first warrant was in October 2016. You had already left the campaign.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and
you were an unpaid associate.
Yeah. Well, I was a volunteer for right. one of many committees they had. Yeah.
Right. And when did you last go to Russia in the lead up to the election? It was April, right?
Well, no, I gave that speech. The only time, you know, that I went in 2016, in the first half or
in know, how many times did you go in 2016?
2016, I went. I gave my speech in July.
This was like
of
a commencement speech.
Commencement speech and an academic lecture I
right.
gave as well.
And how many days were you there for that one?
4 days or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. And so, then you went back one more time
in December. Yes.
And that was after the election.
Yes.
In the interim, throughout 2016, did you ever have any contacts with anybody from Russia, campaign related in any way?
You know, the one thing that the House Intel Committee, you know, Congressman Schiff, et cetera, always like to focus on is the fact that in July of 2016, I briefly said hello to one of the people in, Arkady Dvorkovich. He's mm-hmm. a deputy prime minister. So he was speaking after I spoke at the commencement of the speech. There was a receiving line and I, you know.
How long was that conversation?
It was definitely less than 10 seconds. I've been trying to get a video to show that. You know, it was.
You never talked to him on the phone since then?
No. We did have a short catch up in December, but again, I had already been long out of the campaign. You know, and that was related to New Economic School, where.
Why did you declare yourself an informal advisor to the Kremlin, which you did in a letter?
You know, that was just something. It was taken out of context. I had mentioned to them that I had
mentioned to who?
There is. I actually wrote a book. It was right. based on my PhD dissertation. University of Pennsylvania Press was in the process of editing it. I was working with my editor. They had this one independent reviewer who was going back and forth, and he was one of these people. His specialty was corruption in the former Soviet Union. So he had a really negative bias. And so I, you know, just mentioned to him that I had participated in this this forum related to the G20. I was very specific about it. It was an international forum. And I mentioned that in a two-page letter that I sent him, you know, just protesting.
You said,
the fact.
And yet you're, but an informal advisor to the Kremlin means that you would know. But those are
no,
your words,
no, no.
And
I,
not mine.
No, the words I use, you know, again, if they look at the full quote, I'm probably gonna tweet this out in the next couple of days.
Okay.
But you know, there is a little point about, you know, I mentioned people, you know, people involved in the G20. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very clear. So it's not like they're, you know, hardcore main Kremlin people. You know, the whole point was there should be some understanding of what's actually going on there. And this guy, who is this expert in all the corruption in Russia, you know, you just lack a full picture as to what the real situation is on the ground.
So with all of this, and you've had four FISA warrants against you, have you ever been, besides Robert Mueller, questioned by anybody else in law enforcement?
There was a big report to Devlin Barrett in the Washington Post. He last June, in June of 2017, he had this big report that, you know, someone leaked to him that I had spent, you know, 10 plus hours in the with the FBI in
true?
March of 2017. Yes. So
okay.
I admitted that.
Was it
that,
about
you know.
This?
Yeah, it was all sort of collusion, quote unquote, narrative.
And this is back in July?
It's March 2017.
March 2017.
Last year.
So you spent, and how did you feel that session had gone? And had you spoken with them since?
You know, I'm happy to speak with anyone whenever they have questions.
That was a 10-hour session.
Well, there was a long series of meetings throughout March.
And how did you feel they had gone?
I thought I cleared up all the questions they had. So what's particularly interesting about that is the timing of those four FISA warrants, right? Two of them happened before, two of them happened after.
Yeah.
It was preposterous that they could have ever even tried anything like that before. For them to actually continue it after, I would love to see what is in there. And
why you deserve to. But now we know that there never would have been a FISA warrant on you but for Hillary's bought and paid for phony dossier full of Russian lies, of all things.
Yes.
You were a target of your own government.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were caught up in a political play. How does that make you feel?
Sean, I always bear in mind that was a dodgy dossier, right? The first original historical
debunked dossier, no.
Well, the first dodgy dossier was 2003 to 2002, 2003. It's how the UK government sold the Iraq War to the British people. And this is exactly the same thing. You know, it's Washington and some operatives in London working together to spin this false narrative. And in that case, it was completely false intelligence. This case on the collusion narrative, completely false intelligence again, and it needs to be fixed.
Without the dossier, they would never have gotten a warrant on you. That's just a fact. And Hillary paid for it, and Christopher Steele was fired, and they never told the judge, the FISA judges, four of them. And they also misled the judges because they didn't know it was a political, basically an op research thing that wasn't corroborated or verified. But they all signed their name to it, including
ridiculous.
Rod Rosenstein. I would imagine that there's some recourse available for you, considering this is your life and your privacy, and that it was based on a series of lies and a phony dossier and a political document.
You know, I always that's why I was referring to the Iraq War. That first dossier led to, you know, and that misinformation, false intelligence that led to that decision to invade Iraq. 4,500 plus U.S. military service members lost their lives. Any damage that I felt is minuscule, but there's a lot that needs to be done to fix the damage that's been done to our country, our justice system.
What about the people that knowingly lied to the judges to get a warrant to spy on you?
Yeah.
They knowingly gave FISA judges lies to get a warrant to spy on you. Now, we live in a great constitutional republic. We have a Fourth Amendment against unreasonable search and seizure. obviously your rights were violated. If because we're now seeing it, we see that they didn't tell the judges the truth. We saw that they did rely on an unverified, uncorroborated dossier. They had an obligation. They swear in this that it's true. They tell the judges that it's verified and true, and it's not.
Well, listen, I really just want to see our justice system repaired. You know, all this damage that's been done, not just to me. You know, it's like President Trump always said on the campaign trail. It's not about me. It's about us. It's about our justice system and the tremendous damage that's been done. I just want Department of Justice to fix their court filings. You know, not just that one, but also in the Southern District of New York.
I would think you want your good name back.
Well, I think, look, when the truth comes out, Sean, and when people have the full knowledge of what actually happened and my entire background, you know, I think that is going to be achieved sooner or later. But, you know, sometimes it takes a while for some sunshine to come out. So
you have a better attitude than me about it, because I'd be pretty pissed off.
Again, you
and
know,
I'd be hiring the best attorneys and suing a lot of people.
This has been the most interesting legal. I've always been a part-time student. You know, I did my PhD while I was working as a banker in Russia. I did my MBA while I was, you know, working in New York. I did my master's in national security while I was doing work in the Pentagon. And this, I'm now studying the law. This is the most interesting intellectual process I've ever been involved in.
Why don't you take it more personally? I would take it, instead of an intellectual exercise, I would take this very emotionally and personally, is because they're basically, they are using false political lies to get warrants to take away your rights. I'd be pretty pissed off.
Sean, this is exactly what I'm trying to help shift away from. What happened in Helsinki, instead of talking about substance, you know, all this criticism that the hysterical mainstream media has been doing throughout the last week, they just made it very personal against President Trump. There is so many more
A lot
big
of the
issues.
Same players, by the way. A
exactly.
lot of the same people.
Exactly.
You know, I just think that it's sad that, you know, look, if they had reason to believe you did something wrong, then they would have a right. But what they put together to lie to a court again and again and again to take away your liberty and your freedom, that's what happened here. And they based it on lies and a political document, and they lied to the judges. There has to be consequences for that. These, you know, you cannot do what they did here to basically try to steal an election. And that's what they tried to do.
Absolutely.
Now that all of this has come out, a year of your life, you've been surveilled, all of these questions about you, it was all based on a phony political document full of Russian lies, warrants issued in, you know, even though they totally lied to these judges in this case. Why do I feel if it was me, I'd be angrier than you, and I would want justice more than you, and to make sure this never happens to another American citizen?
Sean, I definitely want the justice system to be fixed, and I'm working to get that done. But there's a bigger issue right now, and it goes back to what happened in Helsinki last week. U.S. foreign policy has been significantly damaged by all the obstruction that various forces in Washington have taken against the Trump administration. So I think there is some big things that can be fixed, you know, whether it's Syria, Asia, et cetera. So getting the truth out
there. Know from the media.
Yeah, exactly.
Carter Page, thanks. You came in and answered all our questions. We appreciate it. And we will delve down deep into this, a deep dive on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. Carter Page, thanks for being with us. Sarah and Greg are next.
Well, I think the counterintelligence investigation was launched before revelation of the dossier.
Okay, that's important. So the chronology is that the counterintelligence investigation predated the dossier. So the way he's setting it up can't be true.
Well, it's a little distorted in my mind, because I think the dossier would be a part of this
a counterintelligence investigation that was already underway, which, of course, was buttressed by our intelligence community assessment in the first place. So, and that was a challenge for us, I suppose, at the end. We just ran out of time as to whether or not the allegations, particularly the salacious ones, could be rebutted or confirmed.
The way we operate in the Department of Justice, if we can accuse somebody of wrongdoing, we have to have admissible evidence and credible witnesses. We need to prepare to prove our case in court. And we have to affix our signature to the charging document. That's something that not everybody appreciates. There's a lot of talk about FISA applications. And many people that I see talking about it seem not to recognize what a FISA application is. A FISA application is actually a warrant, just like a search warrant. In order to get a FISA search warrant, you need an affidavit signed by a career federal law enforcement officer who swears that the information in the affidavit is true and correct to the best of his knowledge and belief. And that's the way we operate. And if it's wrong, sometimes it is, if you find out there's anything incorrect in there, that person is going to face consequences.
That person is Rod Rosenstein, because Rod Rosenstein signed not the first, not the second, not the third. Oh, no, he signed the fourth FISA warrant against Carter Page. Anyway, glad you're with us. News Roundup and Information Overload Hour. Okay, are they going to face consequences for this? Now we know certain there. Now everything we've told you is now true. The warrant, the bulk of information, as the Nunes-Grassley-Graham memo said, was the phony, bought and paid for dossier. The dossier that Clinton and the DNC she was controlling financially funneled money through Perkins Coie to hire Fusion GPS, the op research firm, to hire Christopher Steele, who himself has since said, oh, it's maybe 50-50, I'm sorry, under the threat of perjury in an interrogatory in Great Britain, and that it's just raw intelligence. Well, that became the bulk of the information. The warrant application, the FISA warrant application, was the dossier that she paid for. The FISA judges were all lied to because they never included this fact. They never came out and said what they knew, which was Hillary bought and paid for it. They actually went as far in this document, when you read into it, that they vouched for it as if they verified it, as if it was true. And in fact, they're using Christopher Steele's presentation, but not telling the court they fired him for lying. And I still haven't gotten an answer to the question of whether or not he was paid in any way. But at the end of the day, the FBI purposely lied to obtain this warrant. And by getting such, that literally gave them a gaping hole right into the Trump campaign, of which Carter Page was once an associate of. You know, the idea that Christopher Steele lied, that Christopher Steele was, you know, literally put it together, never verified it, and they vouched for it. How did this happen? We have a constitution in this country. We have Fourth Amendment rights against unreasonable search and seizure. Anyway, it couldn't be a better day for the release of his book. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Hannity.com, and bookstores all day tomorrow. You can pick up your copy. It's called The Russia Hoax, The Russian Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. Sarah Carter, investigative reporter, has been in the forefront of all of this. Fox News contributor. Welcome, all of you. All right, Greg, congrats. The book is finally here. All of this is chronicled in your book, but now everything is corroborated, completely corroborated, and we only have a small fraction because they redacted everything out of these 412 pages.
You know, if you turn to page 159 of my book, I recite out of the FISA warrant application how they disguised that it was Hillary Clinton and the Democrats who were paying for this through Fusion GPS, sort of money laundering it, over to Christopher Steele, a foreign national. And as I write, you would have to be telepathic to comprehend the facts underlying this disguised footnote. And so they were deceiving the court. They were concealing evidence. Had the judges actually known that Hillary Clinton had paid for this dossier, had they known the true origins of this, they would have said, hey, wait a minute, we can't sign this. If they had seen the whole dossier, they would have laughed and said, get out of this courtroom before we hold you in contempt of court, James Comey.
Who are the people now, everybody that we've been talking about, whose signatures are on this?
Well, you've got James Comey, Sally Yates, Andrew McCabe,
Rod Rosenstein.
And Rod Rosenstein, and you played a clip a moment ago that's very important. He said, when we affix our signatures, we are swearing that the information is true and accurate. They knew it was untrue, and they hadn't verified it, and they didn't disclose that to the court.
No, they actually tell the judge the opposite. They say they did verify
it. And the other thing that people are missing is you can't get a renewal of a FISA application unless you present new evidence. Now, I've read all 412 pages of the four applications. There is no new evidence.
Well, there's a lot of redactions, though, but there's no indication that there was any new evidence at all.
None whatsoever.
All right. What are the laws potentially in play and who broke them?
Well, there is a very important law known commonly as abuse of power, and it's a violation of the law to use your official position to basically interfere in somebody's constitutional rights, and that would be the right of privacy in terms of Carter Page and spying on him with wiretaps. It would also be a violation of Donald Trump's constitutional rights to run a free and fair election. If they are trying to stop him from winning by doing all of this, that's abuse of power. It's obstruction of justice. And because they signed the FISA warrant under false pretenses, that is also perjury. So there's a whole bunch of crimes.
Sarah, let's go and get your general thoughts on all this. Well, number one, your reporting has been dead on accurate. You deserve a Pulitzer because you're way ahead of the curve on all of this. The media is trying to downplay this as much as they can, and they want to go back to last week's news and talk about Putin because they've been on the wrong track. But this really was about a dossier put together by a Russian national full of Russian, I'm sorry, by a foreign national full of Russian lies for the very purpose of impacting a presidential election and undermining a president-elect and a president. That's why. That's what this is.
It is. And what's so stunning about all of this, and we've been saying this from the beginning, that if they were accusing the Trump administration of being unwittingly or wittingly used by the Russians, which is what former CIA Director Brennan and Clapper have tried to say over and over again, it appears that it was they themselves who were being the agents of Russia and dividing our nation and creating the chaos and the turmoil that we've seen for over the last year. And it's a violation of our constitutional rights. I mean, what happened with Carter Page in this FISA application, and you're right, Sean, a great number of pages out of this 412 pages, which I've had a chance to go through as well, has been redacted. And what the House Intelligence Committee wants now, and they've sent this letter to the president on June 14th. It was released Sunday night. We've talked about it on your show. For over a week now, I've been saying the 19 pages in this FISA application, which were not released, by the way, in the documents that were released on Saturday. So those have not been redacted. I mean, those are redacted. Those have not been unredacted.
What do you hear the 19 pages would show?
It would expose the entire FISA debacle. It would show how they misused the Fisk courts. It would expose to the American public exactly what happened. And because that is still considered classified, I can't have details on that. All I can say is that the president needs to get those documents declassified. Those documents need to be presented before the American public so that the American public has the opportunity to make their own determination and decision. I think based on what we've seen so far, we can say without a doubt, Greg Jarrett's book is right on the money. And what's happened here has exposed something that we never thought could happen in our own country. We thought this could only happen in other nations, not in America. I think what makes us lucky is that we do have a constitution, that we do have a right to stand up to our government, and the fact that President Donald Trump won the election opened up this can of worms so that hopefully we can clean out these agencies, clean out this system, and not have this happen again, because this is extraordinarily dangerous.
We also learn in all of this that people like Adam Schiff is nothing but a pathological liar, and that the Democrats, when they claim the Steele dossier was not heavily relied upon in the FISA warrant, that has been one big, you know, repeated lie by the Democrats. Even the, you know, the unredacted material shows that the dossier, you know, which was paid for by Hillary Clinton, that was the bulk of the information. We now know that the Yahoo News article source to Christopher Steele himself, was also cited extensively. And the FBI falsely denied Steele was the source for that article, the author of the article, Michael Isikoff. It's basically the same sourcing to make it seem like it's two separate sources that they're presenting to the FISA court. That was done purposefully.
Well, we also know that Steele lied to the FBI, and then they didn't disclose that to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. They continued to renew every 90 days this application with whatever else they pretended to have against Carter Page to continue surveilling him, but they never once disclosed, according to what we've seen in these 412 pages of what we can see, that Steele had lied to the FBI and he was no longer a credible source. Steele, who himself said he couldn't verify anything in his own dossier.
You know,
it's really incredible.
And then you go a lot further in this, and the FBI falsely denied Steele was the source, but more importantly, the FBI absolutely never verified any of the material that we now know to be false that was given to the FISA judges. They didn't tell the judges that it was, you know, the same source for both the article and, of course, the dossier.
Right.
And they never, ever, there were no indications. They never told the judges who paid for it.
In light of the facts we now know, page after page of this FISA warrant application is one deception after another. You know, they in the preamble, they sort of lay out that Carter Page, you know, is a foreign agent and that he was recruited back in 2013 and so forth. They never disclosed to the court that, well, he really wasn't and he was never charged. And in fact, he helped the Department of Justice and the government prosecute Russians and obtain convictions for their operations here in the United States. Now, that would have been a critical fact for those judges to know that, wait a minute, Carter Page has been helping the governments against Russians. They make the flat-out assertion that he is a foreign agent for the Russians, and all of their evidence is simply this dossier. I mean, they basically rubber-stamp the dossier, which is totally fabricated, and put it in front of the court, but they didn't disclose what it was all about. They didn't disclose that it was all a lie and they hadn't been able to verify any of the information contained therein. And you're right about the circular sourcing and reporting. I mean, they lead the judges to believe that the dossier information is independently verified by a separate source. No, it was a reporter who was quoting the original source of the dossier, Christopher Steele. I mean, people should lose their license to practice law at the Department of Justice for this.
It's got to be more, if they can get away with this, we don't have a country. We don't have a constitution.
Right.
We'll continue. More Greg Jarrett, Sarah Carter on the other side. And as we continue with Greg Jarrett and Sarah Carter, Greg's new book is out, The Russian Hoax. It's here, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton, Frame Donald Trump, in bookstores tomorrow, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Sarah Carter, investigative reporter. You know, with all this talk about Brennan and the House Judiciary Chairman wanting John Brennan to testify, news that John Brennan specifically asked for my surveillance. If you don't mind taking a trip down a little selfish lane here. Apparently Susan Rice might have asked to unmask me or done so at the behest of John Brennan. What does that mean for me, Greg Jarrett?
Well, we don't know whether this indeed happened or not, but I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, we know that the government is capable of doing this, surveilling
would I ever be able to find the truth of this?
It's the government. Good luck. No, I mean, you know,
if they did do it, they would have to justify it.
Well, they would.
But unmasking, there's no justification.
No, look
for
what
unmasking.
They did to our own James Rosen at Fox News. I mean,
and then what they did to General Flynn,
Michael Flynn. I mean, they prosecuted him for lying, even though the FBI agents who interviewed him said he was telling the truth. He was not lying. But Robert Mueller doesn't care about that because all he wanted to do was go after somebody in Trump's circle, if not Trump himself. And so, you know, and look, this is the intelligence agencies of the United States. It's cloak and dagger. Everything that they do is hidden from the American public. And they're very adept at that. So if they were surveilling you or other American citizens without the proper legal authority,
Sarah,
you can bet they covered it up.
All right, we'll give Sarah a chance to respond on the other side of this break. 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. The day's here. The Russian hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton, frame Donald Trump by our friend Greg Jarrett. Bookstores as of tomorrow, Amazon.com, Hannity.com, BarnesandNoble.com now. And we'll get Sarah's take on whether she was unmasked on the other side of this break as well. Straight ahead.
Was there any choice there? Why, if this was salacious and this particular part of the dossier unverified, still unverified, by the way?
Yes. So far as when I got fired, it was unverified.
Did you tell him that the Steele dossier had been financed by his political opponents?
No, I didn't even think I used the term Steele dossier. I just talked about additional material.
But did he have a right to know that?
That had been financed by his political opponents? I don't know the answer to that. It wasn't necessary for my goal, which was to alert him that we had this information.
Well, I think the counterintelligence investigation was launched before revelation of the dossier.
Okay, that's important. So the chronology is that the counterintelligence investigation predated the dossier. So the way he's setting it up can't be true.
Well, it's a little distorted in my mind because I think the dossier would be a part of this a counterintelligence investigation that was already underway, which, of course, was buttressed by our intelligence community assessment in the first place. So, and that was a challenge for us, I suppose, at the end. We just ran out of time as to whether or not the allegations, particularly the salacious ones, could be rebutted or confirmed.
Well, again, bear in mind, the dossier is actually a compilation of 17 separate memos. And some of those were corroborated in our report from completely different and valid sources. Others material in there, notably the salacious material, could not be, and as far as I know, never was validated. So some of it was valid, but some of it couldn't be. And the big hang-up was we could not attest to the veracity of the second and third order sources that were drawn on to compile it.
Do you know if the Bureau ever relied on the Steele dossier as part of any court filings, applications, petitions, pleadings?
I have no awareness.
Did the CIA rely on it?
No.
Why not?
Because we didn't. It wasn't part of the corpus of intelligence information that we had. It was not in any way used as a basis for the intelligence community assessment that was done. It was not.
Just lying. Just outright lying. 25 now till the top of the hour. That last one was Brennan, right? Well, that sounded like a lie to me, Greg Jarrett.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe anything that John Brennan says. Because as I write in my book, The Russia Hoax, he was the propagator, the instigator of the dossier. He was peddling it to everybody on Capitol Hill that he could talk to, including Harry Reid, who was then minority leader of the U.S.
By the way,
Senate.
Peddling what is unverified,
right.
false Russian propaganda to impact the presidential election,
so,
and he's the CIA director.
Brennan meets with Harry Reid. 2 days later, Reid fires off a letter to Comey saying there's collusion between Trump and the Russians. You need to investigate. And Reid leaks that letter to the media. And when the media didn't, the Washington Post used the term collusion when they reported it, but nobody else really picked up on it. So then Harry Reid does it again right before the election. And after Trump is elected, then, you know, it's off to the races. Brennan and Clapper were the people propagating the false
dossier. And they still have security clearances, which I think are now justified taking away. Should Rod Rosenstein survive here in light of what we now know he did in all of this and the fact that he propagated these lies to the FISA court judge? And he's the one that says that if you put your signature there, you're verifying everything that's said.
Yeah.
Sarah, let me ask Sarah. Sarah.
Absolutely. I mean, this is something we've hit on over and over again. He was the signatory on the fourth application to renew. That was in June. And when you think about this, Sean, he would have had access to every other FISA application beforehand. He can't come up with the excuse that I didn't read it. I left it up to Tashina Gohar, my right-hand gal, to look it over, and then I just signed it. No, this is a FISA application to surveil somebody that was part of a presidential campaign. He was a part of this entire episode of events that unfolded that allowed the United States intelligence apparatus to basically spy, wiretap, surveil Carter Page. And that did not include just Carter Page. That included secondary and tertiary people that were talking to Carter Page or talking to people who talked to Carter Page. And they know this very well. And when you talked about, Sean, you know, whether or not we're being surveilled, whether or not people were listening in on conversations, once it's overseas, and especially with you, Sean, anybody that you talk to overseas, when you're traveling overseas, you know, they don't necessarily need to get a FISA application to collect the information that you've put out there through the telephone wires, right? Or through
Well, but if I'm doing reporting or if I'm seeking answers, you know, for example, we did go and interview Julian Assange because he was such a key player. And, you know, I actually think whatever I'd like to see what evidence he has about where he got his information, which I think would be I can't believe to this day that Robert Mueller still hasn't requested an interview with him. And frankly, the House Intel Committee ought to do it, too. And secondly, because if he has evidence or he has proof that, in fact, it wasn't Russia or it was Russia, he told me it wasn't Russia, it wasn't a state party. I think we deserve to know the truth at this particular point in time. I would think he's the one guy that has sure evidence because he's the one that printed it. He's the one that put it up.
That's absolutely true. And remember, this is also that is also included in the FISA application warrant, right?
Right.
So they list WikiLeaks as part of their evidence, but yet they've never talked to Julian Assange. Yet they've never exposed
why not
exactly how Russia did this. Yet they never actually had the DNC server, which the FBI.
Why not? Where is that server? Where is the server? I mean, how do you get to just say to the FBI, no, I'm not giving you my server. We're going to hire an outside company.
You know, Mueller and his team of partisans will never make a move to try to uncover anything that disabuses their narrative of Trump-Russian collusion. And that would be it. So they're not going to look for
They're not going to look for the server.
They're not going to interview
people. They're not going to interview Julian Assange and put it up.
Of course not, because what they might find out is that their narrative of Trump-Russian collusion is belied by facts.
Well, and there's some news that's breaking today, right now, as a matter of a fact, is that Sarah Sanders confirming that President Trump, right, is looking to
right.
take away John Brennan, James Comey, Susan Rice, Andrew McCabe, and a bunch of other people's security clearance.
He should. He absolutely positively should. The fact that they still have a security clearance at this point, you know, that means they have access to what? Go in there and cover up some of their deeds? I mean, that's insane.
Or utilize the information to make money as pundits on, you know, cable news channels. I mean, these are people that have now.
Have you been told you were surveilled and unmasked, Sarah Carter?
Yes, I have.
And how many other people that you know? I've been told it many times.
To what extent?
I don't know the extent either. You could say affirmatively I have been.
I can say affirmatively, yes, that it was not through a FISA. What I have been told is that your conversations overseas were collected. Yes.
Okay, but what about the unmasking? Why would Susan Rice unmask me, a patriot?
That I do not have confirmed, Sean, but what I can say is that it wouldn't be difficult to figure out who you are. If they have the conversations before them and they've unmasked foreigners in those conversations, American person, personality one, or U.S. person two, on those documents, it would become very evident to them.
But once it becomes evident that I'm not doing anything nefarious, aren't they supposed to minimize the call and not identify me?
They are supposed to do that unless they feel there's a special reason warranted. Remember, the laws changed under Obama, and they expanded. They expanded to include journalists, doctors, lawyers, clergy. What used to be sacrosanct is no longer sacrosanct. Remember, under the Obama administration, those laws were expanded, and those rights were taken away.
Even though all of those calls would be in my direct role as a talk show host, which includes, yeah, being a journalist, which includes being an opinion host, which includes all the above. Greg?
You know, look, just remember what James Clapper testified to. He was asked, you know, is the intelligence community spying on Americans through metadata? And he said, oh, absolutely not. And the senator who posed the question knew that he was lying. And when Clapper was confronted with that, Clapper was forced to admit that he was lying and had to correct the record. He should have been prosecuted for perjury because he was testifying under oath at the time. So, I mean, that speaks volumes, Sean, about what the intelligence community does. They will surveil and lie about it.
Why hasn't Carter Page been arrested if they did all the surveillance?
Because there was never any evidence, as I point out in the book.
And then if you are willing to lie to a FISA court judge, do we ever get to hear from those judges? How do they feel about being lied to?
No, because they're secret and their operations are completely secret.
Then what about the people that we now knowingly gave the judges unverified, uncorroborated, bought and paid for Russian lies? I mean, you know, all the talk about Russian interference and Russia collusion.
They should be prosecuted if they broke the law. And you and I have talked about the laws.
And all four of the people that signed these warrants should be prosecuted.
If they did not follow the law, then absolutely they should.
Based on what we read in these 412 pages, they presented it in a way that they knew was false.
Right. And they used a document they had yet to verify. And that is, in my view, a violation of the law.
That's a requirement of the law.
Yes, it is. And so, you know, and they never thought they'd get caught. Because, first of all, they always assumed that everything with FISA is secret. And second of all, they assumed Hillary Clinton would be elected president. And so and they were trying to help her every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about the arrogance of power. The more you have it, the more you exercise it corruptly. And that is what they have done. And it's really sad and unfortunate when you have hyper partisans in nonpartisan jobs like James Clapper and John Brennan.
The name of your book, I think, says it all. The Russian hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton, frame Donald Trump. Isn't this all the effort to frame Trump? Because
yes,
beyond the first part was to try and prevent him. There was an effort to stop him. There was an insurance policy in case he won.
That's right.
And all of these FISA warrants go to the heart of how they tried to do it. And they were willing to use a bought and paid for political document full of Russian lies to get their way and delegitimize and take out a sitting president.
Yes, and the pivotal moment was July 5th, 2016. Comey's standing in front of television cameras across America. He is clearing Hillary Clinton, even though he knew she broke the law and had put it in his document not once, but twice. And while he's speaking to Americans, his FBI is meeting secretly with Christopher Steele, the author of this fictitious anti-Trump dossier funded by Hillary Clinton and the Democrats.
Why are they all holier than thou, people like Comey and Strzok and Brennan? Why do they all think that they are the great arbiters of truth?
They think they're smarter than Americans.
They think they're super patriots.
Yeah, he thought he knew better than those deplorables who voted for Donald Trump.
You mean we smelly Walmart people?
Yeah,
Is your book for sale in Walmart?
It is for sale in Costco and Target and Sam's Club, and I believe it's at Walmart as well. And,
yeah,
and you know, I'm going to go to those places, and I'm going to meet those people who are buying my book. And God bless them for doing that, because they're just like me.
When did they ever get so arrogant to think that, you know, that they can think of us as irredeemable, deplorable, smelly Walmart people that cling to our God, guns, Bibles, and religion, sir, and then try and steal a presidential election?
Because these are such narcissistic, unbelievable people that live in a bubble in Washington that don't even know what a gallon of milk costs and don't even care about the American people. And unfortunately, Sean, now they're exposed. Maybe that's fortunately. Now they're exposed. And the American people can now fight back the right way and vote who they want in office and make sure that this place is cleaned up, because it is a swamp. And unfortunately, it's hard to deal with, but it's something that we have to live with. It's something that we have to expose. And I'm grateful to be a part of that.
Yeah, honestly, everything we've said is true. Everything they've told you is a lie. Greg, congrats on the book. Bookstores everywhere. And Sarah, thank you. We'll have you both on Hannity tonight. A lot of ground to cover, including why these people deserve to lose their security clearances. And, of course, everything on FISA, 9 Eastern on Hannity. Going to wrap things up for today. All right, we will break down what is the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal now confirmed in the release of these FISA warrants from Saturday night. We have Newt Gingrich, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, Tom Fenton, also Jason Chaffetz, Andy McCarthy, Daniel Hoffman, and Sebastian Gorka. That's all tonight, 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox News. We hope you'll join us. You will not get this information anywhere else. See you tonight at 9 and back here tomorrow.